Colossians chapter 1, verse, I'd like to read verse 15 through verse 19. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Particularly two words, the firstborn in verse 15, the firstborn of every creature, and verse 18, the firstborn from the dead. I've been doing an exciting study that came up with a question. That question is, did you know that Jesus was born again? Did you know that Jesus was born again? That as I began to search, I kept questioning some things that kept coming to my mind, and so I began to dig into the scriptures. But before I could really get into that, I had to go all the way back to the beginning, all the way back in eternity before there ever was a man, or before there was any earth, or before there was anything created. And it took me to Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Turn there with me. Let's look at this. Proverbs, the 8th chapter, and I want to read several verses here, beginning in verse 22. Proverbs 8, beginning in verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea its decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him. The Son described in these scriptures was not a created being. He wasn't the result of a birth. He'd always existed. Before there was an earth, before there were any of these things, the Son existed. But it was here in eternity that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, conceived the plan for many sons to be added to the family, to have many sons in the image of Christ, and to bring forth these sons, as it were, in the earth. And so there in eternity the plan was conceived, and this is a timeline here. Time began, and in process of time the Son himself came down. And in Galatians, the 4th chapter, and most of you know the scripture where it says that Jesus at his first birth, and in order to carry out the plan of God, Jesus took upon a mortal body. He was born in the flesh. He was born of a woman. He was born under the law. And his first birth took place in a manger in Bethlehem. And there, Jesus is described as the only begotten Son. At His birth and from His walk on this earth, including His 3.5 years of ministry, for 33.5 years, Jesus walked the earth, and just as these scriptures in Proverbs, He was the delight of the Father. Daily the delight of the Father. He was the only, well, Jesus said of Himself, I do always those things which please my Father. So much so that the Father, when Jesus began His ministry, shouted down to the world and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus, throughout the scriptures, and one of the most recognized scriptures would be John 3:16, speaking of the only, and the Father's plan was not just for one son. He'd always had a son. He'd always had a son, and that son was always pleasing to the Father. But Jesus was born into the world, and He was born, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Another good scripture is found in the same chapter in John's Gospel, a better scripture even, or just as good a scripture, in the first chapter, verse 14, describing Jesus, the one who was made flesh, the one who was the only begotten Son, the one who dwelt on this earth for a period of time. Verse 14 of the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And also in 1 John 4:9, a scripture describing that one and the same Jesus that came to the earth, who came under His first birth, says of Him, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might, it was the only begotten Son that was sent into the world. The Father's plan, from way before there was anything, way back in eternity, called for sons, many brethren, many family members. And when Jesus was born at Bethlehem and walked this earth, His earthly life stretched for 33.5 years, He walked this earth as the only begotten Son, the only one that pleased the Father. During that time, there were not many sons brought forth. Peter wasn't pleasing to the Lord. Peter wasn't daily His delight. Nobody was. Jesus was the only begotten Son. Where then was Jesus begotten, where the plan of God came into effect, came into being? Before I describe that, what got me on this, I started thinking about our birth. And I started thinking about the new birth. You know, we were born with the old life. We were born into the old creation of Adam. And a death had to take place out of the old creation into the new. A death had to take place of the old so that a birth could take place into the new in Christ. You see, we didn't just, and you may have thought by last class we talked about a translation, but it wasn't just, and I noted the cross right in the middle, it wasn't just a zip from one to the other. In fact, a death took place to the old creation, to the old life, to the old identification, and a new birth took place. We were born again into the family of God. So the same is true. As I was searching that, I began to realize that the same is true for the Lord. That a death to the old identity of Jesus took place at the cross. And I started thinking about this, and I began to realize, you know, one of the major problems with Christians today is they won't let Jesus die. They won't let Jesus die. They don't realize that when Jesus went to the cross, death really did take place, and it wasn't just kind of like a 3-day nap and then on to resurrection. Have you ever thought about that? You know, Jesus knew he wasn't going to die. He knew he was going to be resurrected. So what it was kind of like a 3-day hiatus there. He just took a nap for 3 days and then he was resurrected and it was no big deal. A death really did took place. A death really happened at the cross, and most people never let Jesus die. They never let Jesus die. They always refer back, and they always come, and they look at the only begotten Son, and they get all caught up in that life, but they never really let Jesus die. Jesus said of himself in John's Gospel once again, and most of my search I found was in John, and I do want you, if you can, to turn to these scriptures, or maybe write them down for your search later, because it was exciting. In John 15:26, Jesus, the one who walked the earth during his earthly life, said of himself, in verse 26 of John 15, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Jesus said, "I must go away that the Holy Spirit, that the Comforter might come." Now, it's not necessary for the Comforter, for the Holy Spirit to come and teach the only begotten Son. It's not necessary for the Holy Spirit to come and teach the only begotten Son, for men could look at him, could see him, could feel him, could hear him, and could write down in a book all that he said and all that he did, so that others could come and read and know him. Talking about the Gospels. It's not necessary for the Holy Spirit to come and teach the only begotten Son, for men beheld him and that he was full of grace and truth. And they wrote down his works, his deeds, his words. To them, they thought, well, this is ridiculous. Jesus is standing there in front of them saying, "I've got to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come and teach me." And they're going, "What's he talking about?" That's what they said. "What are you talking about? What do you mean you've got to go away?" They didn't understand that. A sinner who's interested in the historical aspects of the life of Christ, a sinner, not born again, not Spirit-filled, can pick up one of the four Gospels, can read there, and can understand and give you back everything that Jesus said and did. Can tell you that Jesus died on the cross. Can tell you that Jesus walked on the... You know, they can. A sinner that is not born again, much less Spirit-filled, can read that book, can read the Gospel of John, can read Matthew, can read all these scriptures and give you back the same thing. But with the firstborn, and the scriptures we read there in Colossians, with the firstborn son, it's not so. With the only begotten, you can read there, for he was the one that was manifest to the world. And Jesus, if you remember, when he began to minister, you know, he's pointing everybody to the cross. He's telling everybody, you know, "I've got to go away. The Holy Spirit's got to come." You know, people would come up and Jesus, the only begotten Son, would heal them or do some miracle. And he'd say, Don't tell anybody. Don't just go and rejoice in God. Don't tell anybody who did this. Jesus didn't do that because he was modest, you know, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He didn't do that because he was trying to be meek. He did that because he didn't wish that to be the Jesus that people knew. And he said, "This Jesus must go away. You're never going to know me unless I go away and the Comforter come and teach you my life." I can hear him now. "I've walked with you for 3.5 years, Lord. I know you." I can hear Peter. "I know you better than anybody. I know you, Lord." "No, Peter, you don't understand. You're never going to know me. You're never going to see me except I go away." He keeps talking about going away. He keeps talking about the cross. He keeps talking about the Holy Spirit coming. Paul got a hold of this. Not long after Jesus had died, Paul was walking on the road to Damascus. He was struck down, and on that road, or when he went out into the wilderness, at one place or another, he saw, and I keep using the firstborn or the only begotten, because those are really the two terms that I'm dealing with. Paul saw Jesus, the firstborn son, the firstborn from the dead. And in, turn with me to the book of Acts, he begins to talk about this Jesus. Acts chapter 13. He stands in front of the people and declares, verse 26, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not," they didn't know him. He's gone now, and they didn't know him. "They knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every..." Tell me it's not important to search the Scriptures. They didn't know him, and they didn't know the Scriptures. "The voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him." Because they didn't recognize Jesus, they fulfilled the Scriptures. And then, and here's where it begins to talk about this new birth. Verse 32, and it goes on down, but verse 32, "And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Which day was Paul talking about? Was he talking about the day when Jesus was born in the manger in Bethlehem? Look at the Scriptures. "Hath fulfilled the same in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is written, Thou art my son." This day, the day he raised him from the dead, was he begotten again of the Father. He was born again at the resurrection. And from the third day after his death, through the book of Acts, through the epistles of Paul, down to the final book of the Bible, Jesus is no longer referred to as the only begotten Son, but from now on he's called the firstborn Son. Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 29, the plan of God begins to come into focus. We've always read Romans 8:29 as a scripture that will back up the truth of the plan of God. Well, let's read it again. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. When he was out here in eternity, he was the only Son. When he was born in Bethlehem, he was the only begotten Son. Here in eternity, he was the only Son that pleased the Father. Here when he walked the earth, he was the only Son that pleased the Father. And there were no other. But the Father hath fulfilled the plan of God in that he hath raised Jesus from the dead, no longer the only begotten Son, but from that point on, from the resurrection of Christ on, he is the new man. A new man. A new existence. A new altogether. Look in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23 says to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Also another scripture in Revelation, the first chapter, verse 5. And from Jesus, these are the letters to the seven churches, and from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loveth us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus is no longer, and also those scriptures that we read in Colossians, describing Jesus, the firstborn of every creature and the firstborn from the dead. Jesus gave us a glimpse of this in one of the most popular scriptures we quote around here. In John 12:24, Jesus warned and said that this is how I'm going to accomplish God's plan. Except the only begotten Son fall into the ground and die, he will abide alone. He will be the only Son, but if he die, he'll bring forth the first begotten of many brethren, the firstborn from the dead. That's how the plan of God was brought about. Jesus, the only begotten, Jesus, the Son that we seem to know, died, and a new man was raised from the dead, and he's no longer the only Son, but a new race and a new generation and a new family, a new brethren, and a new man has been brought forth, for whom he did foreknow. The whole plan is that we might be conformed into the image of this firstborn Son. And we have been made members of his body. And we have been called sons of God. Jesus is no longer the only Son. He's no longer the only Son that is the pleasing to the Father. For Jesus said in John chapter 17, he began to talk about, it was his prayer before he went to the cross, and he says, "Oh Lord, glorify thy name." He says, the whole I'm fixing to share the glory that you had with me before the foundation of the world, and I'm going to share it with these sons that are yours, so that they too might be one with us, that they might be accepted in the beloved. In the beloved. Many brethren. That's what his prayer was. John 17, it's all, that whole chapter is nothing but a prayer. And he starts talking about what happened over here in eternity. He starts talking about the plan for sons. He starts talking about the fact that I'm fixing to lay down my life so that I might share the glory, the coveted position that only Jesus held as the only begotten Son. And the Scriptures scream out and say, now are ye the sons of God. We don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. What we do is we get all caught up. We look over here in the Scriptures and we start looking in the Scriptures and we say, well, I want to see Jesus. And so we look in here and we look at the life of Jesus, the one who walked the earth, and we say, oh, I wish I could be like Him. We look at the only begotten Son, the only one that's pleasing. We say, He's the only one that's pleasing. I wish I could be like Him. And we get all caught up. We think, well, the only begotten Son is my model, because He certainly pleases the Father. He said it Himself, I do always those things which please the Father. We read that book, we read the four Gospels, and we try to copy the life of Jesus. The only begotten Son, as He existed then, no longer exists. He died. But He rose again, but not as the only, as the firstborn of many. Oh, praise God. If we got hold even just a little bit of this, we'd be jumping up and marching around, because Jesus rose again and there is a new man and we are sons of God. We are sons of God. Don't we go here and we want to know all about Him. We want to search all the Scriptures. We start looking at Jesus and we do what it says, well, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter starts describing this. Paul said in verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then are all dead, and that he that died for all, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, after their earthly life. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. We don't know the only begotten. Do you see what I'm saying? The only begotten is not life to you and me. We don't know Him after the flesh, and this was definitely, as far as we can see, after the flesh. Paul saw Jesus. Paul didn't walk with Jesus for 3.5 years. He didn't, when he got knocked down on the road to Damascus, Paul didn't run to the disciples and say, I've got to know Him. Tell me about Him. And they start saying, well, let's see, He fed the multitudes and He healed the sick. And he didn't get all caught up in all that. Search the Scriptures, every one of Paul's letters. What does he talk about? Does he talk about the miracles of Jesus? Does he talk about all the things we talk about? Does he get caught up in all the things? What does he talk about? The very next verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. We don't know who we are, and we don't know what happened, and we don't know who Jesus is. We're still looking at the only begotten that died, that laid down his life, that gave up his walk, that gave up his identity. We don't know Jesus. We don't realize that. In other words, what we do, not knowing, you see, Paul didn't see Jesus. He saw him right here. The scriptures again in Colossians, we'll see how Jesus saw him, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And he is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He is the head of the church. Paul never understood this life right here. He may never understood the only begotten Son. He may never have gotten told what Jesus did and what Jesus didn't do. We have. We read the Gospels and we say, I'm going to pattern my life after Him. Jesus, I'm going to be scriptural. And I'm going to live a scriptural life. And so we read the scriptures and we see how Jesus had compassion, and so we run around trying to have compassion. And we see how Jesus loved, and we try to be loving. And we look at Jesus over here feeding the multitude, and we invite people over our house. And we get all caught up in the only begotten Son, and He's external to us. We're just looking, and we see Him do something, and we say, I'm going to do that. We're a little copycat. I'm being scriptural. The things I'm doing because it's scriptural, because Jesus did it. Paul didn't do that. Paul said, I want to see Him. Paul said, He's the head of the church, the firstborn from the dead, and I am in Him, and we are many brethren, and I'm a son of God. You say, well, the reason why Jesus did all that, because He's a son of God. Who do you think you are? You're a son of God. By virtue of what? By virtue of the firstborn who is in you. You don't have to look over here and try to do that. He's in there. It's Jesus. He lives His life. We're trying to be Jesus when we're already Jesus. If you understand what I mean. We're trying to act like the Lord when He's already there, saying, I wish they'd let me out. I wish they'd let me live my life. I wish they'd quit trying to copy me and let me live it. Jesus, we have been born again of Jesus. The cross took place. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. Glory to God. Jesus isn't something external that we look for and look at. Jesus is internal. Jesus is already there. And we run around trying to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. A new man. Never before in existence. From the cross on down through the scriptures, everywhere you look, the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn of many brethren. Never before a new man, the old man is gone, done away, a new man. And John, oh glory to God, he concludes in the first, once again, first chapter. The Gospel of John, the first chapter and verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, who were born. Thank God we were born again. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're born of God. If we got hold of that, if we got hold of the truth of Christ in us, no man can take that away from you. They'll never take Christ away. You'll never be deceived. If you realize that Christ is my life, and we share that every class, the Scriptures cry out in every place, to me to live is Christ. He was daily the delight of the Father. He walked the earth and He said, I do always those things that please the Father. And throughout eternity future, He'll always be the delight of the Father. And He's in you and I. And there's no reason why we shouldn't live as sons of God. Don't look at Jesus and say, He's the delight of the Father and He's in you. Let Him live that through you. You say it's impossible. Is it? I say it's the gospel. I say it's the gospel. I don't care whether you don't see anybody living it. No, I don't. I don't care if you don't see anybody not living it. Well, He's not living it. Well, they're not living. Is it not the truth? Is it not Jesus? Is it not possible that if He is pleasing to the Father from all, that He's pleasing now? He's given us the authority and the power within our grasp to become the sons of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads.